This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello, filling in for Laura Kanoi. New Hampshire's first congressional district has long been considered a swing district. It has flipped back and forth between Republicans and Democrats five times over the past decade. But now, with no incumbent running, the seat is wide open, and lots of people have jumped in, three on the Republican side and eight Democrats. So for the next few months here on The Exchange, we will introduce you to these primary candidates, and we welcome your input as well. Send an email to exchange@nhpr.org, respond on Facebook or Twitter at @NHPRExchange, or call. The number is 1-800-892-6477. And our first candidate is Mindy Mesmer, a Democrat, a state representative from the Seacoast, an environmental scientist who has made a name for herself working on water contamination issues. Representative Mesmer, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
So this is a very crowded field on the Democratic side. So in about 30 seconds, what's your best pitch on why first district voters should choose you?
Well, I think, you know, we are seeing a lot of attacks on science and evidence-based issues on the federal level. And I have a background in environmental science, as you mentioned. And I think it's really important to have people in Congress right now. Right now, there's only one congressman, Bill Foster from Illinois. He talks about being lonely up there on the Hill, fighting these battles that are really important battles in terms of protecting public health. I'm concerned about some of the initiatives going on now. We just heard over the weekend how the EPA is looking at going back on those fuel efficiency standards, which really have impacts on climate change and public health issues in general. You know, things about, you know, the air that we breathe and particulate matter that's in the air is really important to protect. So I think there are a lot of attacks from the EPA on some of the things that really go to protect public health. So I think we need some more scientists in Congress to really assert the need for looking at science to protect public health.
Okay. And you've made regulation of contaminants like PFCs a signature issue in your campaign, and not just for this, but also for state rep. Others in the congressional delegation have been working on this. What would you do as a congresswoman to build on the work you've already done?
Well, you know, it's not just an issue here in New Hampshire. What the issues that we have here in New Hampshire relating to some of the Superfund issues with Coakley Landfill and things, and the response from the EPA is indicative of what's going on the national level. We know there are probably around 625 sites across the United States, just like Pease Air Force Base, according to Senator Shaheen's office. So this is a wide national issue. It's not just an issue here in New Hampshire, but we are seeing a microcosm of the issues on the national level. And I think, you know, we need to go about changing how we approve chemicals and things like that for use in the market. You know, in Europe, they really look at proving that the chemicals are safe before they're released in the market. And here in the United States, we kind of release them and then later on find out whether or not they're safe. So that's a concern to me. There are many areas that are concerning, you know, environmentally that have effects on public health.
Mm-hmm. You've learned quite a bit, I imagine, in the past couple of years on state standards for environmental quality. What have you learned about how the regulatory process works since getting involved with this?
Well, you know, we here in the state of New Hampshire have a Republican-controlled House, Republican-controlled Senate, and the governor is a Republican. So if you want to get anything done, you really need to work across the aisle. And that's one of the things I really value. I work routinely with Republicans to talk about these issues. I've done a lot of work educating the House and the senators and the governor on the issues of importance of protecting our drinking water and environmental issues across the state. And that's really been the effective in getting things like a huge bill, a big vote, 2-1 vote a couple of weeks ago on a very important bill that's moving through the House right now, HB 1766, that'll be heard tomorrow in the Senate, which is basically, you know, a bill that's based on what's going on the national level as well. You know, the EPA is saying, well, we don't quite think we need to do anything right here. The state said we do with regard to Coakley Landfill. And, you know, the bill tells the state that they retain the authority to move on it. And so that's a really important bill. It you know, hopefully we'll get it through the Senate committee tomorrow. And, you know, this is the same type of thing that's happening on the national level where EPA is sort of not being as proactive and protective of the public as we'd like them to be.
Mm-hmm. And one of your bills sought for testing of fish for toxins in the area of the Coakley Landfill. The state's Fish and Game Department said it would be too expensive. How would you balance expense with public health initiatives like this one?
Well, in that particular case, that bill, I call that the Nancy Stiles bill. That's another bill that I've worked across the aisle with Republicans on. She was concerned about this issue, as well as I, based on our work on the task force with regard to Berry's Brook and some of the fish stocking that's going on across the state and some of the waterways that we know are impaired. And so we wanted to make sure that, you know, there was some testing that could happen to know if the, when they stock fish and people are encouraged to take those fish and eat them, that whether or not they're actually safe. Unfortunately, the cost was the bill was killed. But, you know, we did have a victory this past week. This Fish and Game, New Hampshire Fish and Game, said that while they continue to stock 5,000 fish per year in Berry's Brook, they are going to put a rulemaking out to make it a catch and release program only. And talking about the fact that there are really high levels of PFCs in that brook as the reason. So that's a victory for us. And, you know, we just want to bring some awareness around these issues. When you're looking at fishing out of impaired waterways, we want to make sure that it's actually beneficial to the people to do that.
We've got some questions from listeners who have written into exchange at nhpr.org. One of them comes from Donna in Campton, who wanted to ask you, Representative Mesmer, with the vast difference in areas that this position covers, how would you balance legislation for the needs of cities and the needs of rural areas?
Well, you know, everybody works in the state. So one of the big issues that I think is important to address is the living wage, whether or not people are able to actually live on the wages that we are providing in the state. You know, we have, you know, pretty good unemployment, but whether we're underemploying people is another question. And I think that's really what's leading to all the issues we're seeing with the highest rates, some of the highest rates in the country of opioid addiction and overdose. And that's really concerning to me. I think it's all related. It's related to how people are feeling about their ability to access a good public education and colleges in the state, and whether or not, you know, they are able to actually work a job and make a living and spend time with their family and their children. I think that's stressing our families, it's stressing individuals. And, you know, I think that's a, you know, not just a city issue or a rural issue. It's across the state, across the country issue. So that's one of the issues I would address.
Underemployment is something that you mentioned specifically on your campaign website. So when you say living wage, is there a number that you have attached to that, a specific minimum wage that you would support?
Well, the Democratic Party talks about $15 an hour. You know, I think that's appropriate for some areas. However, I think that that is probably not even enough for some of the other areas, like Portsmouth, New Hampshire is a pretty high, you know, you have to spend a lot on rent and things to be able to live in New Hampshire, in Portsmouth. So, you know, there's, you know, I think 15 is a good place to start. I think there's some areas where it has to be higher.
So 15 as a federal base, and then the state could go higher if it wants?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay. Since you mentioned, a Democratic Party policy, let me ask you how you might distinguish yourself from other Democrats in the field with respect to employment issues and wages.
Employment issues. Well, I think it's important to provide people with a good public education. I think we should make college accessible to everyone. I think we should have a pathway for people to access it for free. You know, it's not too long ago that the state of California provided free public college education for people. My cousins went to Cooper Union in New York City for free not too long ago. So I think that's an important factor, to provide people with a pathway to educate themselves so they can get those higher paying jobs. I think we need to keep people here in the state of New Hampshire that graduate from college. I think we need to, some of the previous conversation about marijuana was interesting that you were just talking about. I think that's an issue. I think we're seeing a lot of scientists come here from outside of the United States to attend colleges. It would be great to be able to keep them here in the state and provide them with a pathway to having a wage that is commensurate with what their educational level is. So I think it's important to really provide a pathway for people to work and earn a living here in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. I want to shift subject matter gears and ask a question on behalf of Wayne in Dover, who wrote into ask you, Representative Mesmer, what does candidate Mesmer currently consider to be the greatest threat to America's national security?
Well, I think environmental issues are definitely a threat to our security. I mean, I think that, you know, climate change is a big threat to our national security. I think if we don't address some of these issues, we're not really prepared. I mean, we saw what happened in Texas this past year when, you know, that storm hit Texas and we were seeing people floating in their nursing homes, which was very disturbing to see. I think that if we don't prepare for things like sea level rise, we are facing a huge threat to our national security. We'll see people having to migrate away from coastal areas. The shipyard in Portsmouth, I worry about that. What's going to happen when the Portsmouth shipyard gets flooded. We need to address these issues before they happen and be prepared for them. I think it's a huge threat to our national security.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about opioids. New Hampshire has seen the unraveling of several treatment providers, including Hope for New Hampshire Recovery, closing four of its five resource centers, Serenity Place shutting its doors. What do you think Congress could do with you as a member to strengthen these facilities to make sure that the public dollars are well spent?
I think we need to provide them with more funding. I mean, the state of New Hampshire, I sit on the Health and Human Services Committee in the State House, and it's discouraging that we see so much need and not enough money to address those needs on a daily basis when we're in that committee. So that's a need, I think, that we are seeing come out now with all of these facilities, like you mentioned, having financial issues. I think we need to appropriate some additional money. I think we need to look, too, at whether the treatment programs we're using to address this issue are really the appropriate way. I think 28 days is probably not a long enough amount of time. That's probably just enough time to detox people. And then they're thrown back into, out of the treatment system. And then we're worried about Medicaid expansion. We just had a huge vote in our committee last week, 21-0, to pass Medicaid expansion. However, there's a work requirement associated with that bill that would require people, like people coming out of treatment facilities, to have to work 25 hours a week, which I'm concerned about, as they're trying to get their lives back together in order to be able to access Medicaid. So I think there are the opioid issue is a very complex issue. There's not one thing that's going to help address it. We need to really look at the appropriate ways. We need to look at distribution by pharmaceutical companies. We need to look at the manufacturers. We need to look at, I think physicians have actually changed a lot of how they're addressing the issue. They're addressing it appropriately. They're really scaling back on their prescribing habits. So I don't know that it's that much of an issue. When you look at the state data, it's really fentanyl and carfentanil issue right now that's causing it. So we need to make sure that we don't let people get addicted in the first place is the problem. And I think the work that we've done in the state house expanding use of medical cannabis for addressing chronic pain is going to help that, I hope.
Would you support legalizing recreational use of marijuana?
I think I think we're surrounded by other states that are going to be doing it. And I think we do need some other revenue sources here in the state of New Hampshire. So I think it might help in those areas.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll get a chance to address all the callers on the line, but we'll try and get some. I don't think we'll be able to take Kathleen from Peterborough, but she does want to know if you would support a Medicaid for all policy.
Absolutely. Well, Medicare for all.
Medicare for all.
Yes,
excuse me.
Medicare for all. I think that is a much more cost-effective program. I think that is a program that works. I think we can provide good quality health insurance for all the people in the United States, not just some who can afford it. And I think that's really important. You know, we are not a third world country. We should be able to provide everyone with access to high quality health care in the United States. I think that program, if we expanded that and made it accessible by more people, made a bigger base from which to negotiate things like drug prices and prices for procedures, that would be a good thing for driving the price down.
Mm-hmm. The Manchester VA has been in a period of recovery since the summer when whistleblowers came forward with allegations of mismanagement and a crumbling facility. What would you do as a congresswoman to improve things both at the Manchester VA and throughout the VA system?
Well, I think that needs to be looked at closely and figure out where the problems exist and address them. I also think that we should expand access for veterans to, other public and private treatment centers and facilities in the state. I don't think that we should make veterans drive, long distances just to access that health care. So I think there are a lot of ways it can be improved.
Are you a supporter of full privatization of the VA?
There may be a place for that. I don't want to comment on that right now, but.
Mm-hmm. We've got a question from someone who did not want to give his or her name, but they asked, would you as a congresswoman have voted for the latest omnibus spending bill? Why or why not?
I think there's probably some, probably not. I probably would have argued against that more. I think I would have used some of our bargaining tools to get a better deal.
Mm-hmm. Regarding gun policy, you took part in the March for Our Lives event in Portsmouth recently. What specific gun control measures, if any, do you support?
Well, the ones I've talked about are common sense gun. I do believe in the Second Amendment. However, I do think that we can make some changes that make sense. I think we can eliminate the the high-capacity magazines. I don't think you need AR-15s for target practice. You know, I grew up in upstate rural New York where in a gun culture I know what you do or don't need for target practice, and AR-15s are not part of that. I think we can get rid of bump stocks. I think we can look at, you know, one of the important things in the state of New Hampshire is that the second highest rate of death here in our ages 10 to 34 is suicide. And I know from conversations with people like representatives from NAMI that, you know, about half of those deaths are gun-related.
NAMI being National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Yep. So I think, you know, it may make sense to look at, you know, a delay in being able to access a gun when you want to go into a gun shop and get one. You know, maybe 48-hour delay to get that gun is actually a good idea. It might help with some of those suicide rates. You know, I know New Hampshire Medical Society, I have some supporters from that. You know, the head of New Hampshire Med just told me on Friday night that, you know, they're coming out with a very aggressive platform policy, which is probably something, you know, their improved background checks and things like that, that, you know, will probably make it easier for us on a state level to pass some legislation in this arena. But I think there are some things right now we can do. You know, the CDC hasn't been allowed to study this issue since 1996. They've actually been prohibited from studying this. So I think we should address that. And some, I know last week there are, at least there are some plans to move forward with that, but whether or not it's going to be funded on a national level is probably questionable.
Representative Mesmer, in the very short time we have left, we'll say 30 seconds, can you give a closing statement, some kind of last argument you'd like our listeners to remember about you?
Well, you know, I think as a scientist, I think it's important to step up. You know, I've stepped up here in the state to address some really important issues regarding some of these water issues and environmental issues in general. I think, you know, we've uncovered probably we're getting to the point of uncovering a pretty extensive scandal that's gone on the seacoast. And that's indicative of the kind of things that I want to do on a national level. I'm not afraid of a fight. I get up every day and I fight for things like women's rights in the state house and environmental issues and working people's issues. And I think that that's the kind of stuff that people really resonates with the people of New Hampshire, and that would be well suited in Congress as well. I work across the aisle. I like to work with Republicans to get these things done. I mean, we don't always agree on everything, but we can work together. And I think that's important. I think people are tired of some of the divisiveness that's going on the national level and here in the state. And I think it's important to be able to work together and get things done.
Well, State Representative Mindy Mesmer, Democrat and candidate for the 1st Congressional District of New Hampshire, thank you very much for speaking to us today.
Thank you very much.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. And remember, our conversation continues online on Facebook and at nhpr.org. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Jessica Hunt and Christina Phillips. And our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. I'm Peter Biello, filling in today for Laura Kanoy. Thank you very much for listening.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.